The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour 3 Podcast.
Second half of the show is live. We appreciate you being here. We've already had a number of guests. Mike Griffith joins us shortly. And Squirrel is up next. Good afternoon.
Thank you for taking my call today, Paul. And I've been hanging out down here on the coast this week, listening to the show. And a very entertaining show this week, if you don't mind me saying.
Thank you.
And I wanted to call in and talk about the president of the Black Hat Jock Sniffer Society, if I could.
Okay.
If you don't mind. I know you're kind of touchy if anybody talks about him. I heard you call somebody jealous a few weeks ago after they hung up, and that's why I've kind of been hesitant to call in. But, you know, I'm kind of grandfathered in on talking about legend, maybe, because I've been doing it for several years. So it's not like I just jumped on the recent bandwagon. But one of my questions is, why the fake hysteria about the coach allegedly threatening him? Because you know he really didn't threaten Legend, don't you? Or is that just part of the build-up?
Any answer there would incriminate me, so I'll just listen to you.
All he just said something like, I'd like to meet him in a parking lot and beat his ass. I mean, there's been 100 callers that said the same thing on there in the past several years. So that's not really threatening somebody. And, you know, I can see you defending your caller, you know, the right for him to say what he wants to say. But you've got to understand the listener who's a qualified coach who's listening to some clown who's really doesn't really know what he talks about. I mean, sure, he can quote stats and things like that, but he really doesn't know the game 100% like he claims he does. So you can kind of see why that coach would be incest at somebody like that too. I mean, I can see both stories.
Squirrel, that coach's father is welcome to do whatever he wants to do, but I'm not here to be concerned about what some coach's father thinks. I'm here to make sure that every single caller who comes on the air has a forum to express his or her opinion.
I think it was great radio. Don't get me wrong. I wish he'd call in weekly, or some other random coach would call in and defend his child weekly. I mean, I have no issue with that. I thought it was very entertaining. And like I said, I see both sides of the story there. It was just funny to me because, again, when you hear Legend, a few weeks ago he was claiming if he hadn't went to prison, he'd be the head coach of the University of Alabama, which was ludicrous. And then I thought I heard him say yesterday he could coach the defense for the Crimson Tide. He couldn't coach a junior high defense in practice, much less set up a game plan for a real college game. So when you hear clown comments coming from callers like that, it's just amusing to some people, and I can see where it would be. But thank you for taking my call. Aloha.
AC is up next.
Good afternoon, Mr. Feinbaum. Thank you so much for taking my call.
Thank you.
It feels like I miss you, man. I really miss you, so I decided to dial that number. 855-242-7285. I'm looking forward to Mr. Mike Griffith on the Dow Nation. But let me talk about Pride, Gamma, Crimson Pride. The legend start crying that he doesn't have any faith. He doesn't believe in the pride, the tide, the pride. I mean, it's a revenge tour. That's the way how I know. So is it crying right now, Mr. Feinbaum? Can you please help me out?
Well, I mean, again, nothing's – what has changed since Legend made that statement?
Nothing has changed. I mean, weather changed. Canadian weather is so beautiful. I'm enjoying my life. What about you?
I'm pretty happy where I live, AC, but thanks for asking.
You should. Absolutely. So the thing is, Legend could meet anybody in the parking lot. Legend, you cannot even coach the kids. Kids, they're going to run away because they don't want to see you. Just like that boy, Jim from Tuscaloosa. Nobody want to see those losers. Everybody want to see Mr. Paul Feinbaum. Isn't that right, Mr. Feinbaum? They want to see you. Am I correct?
Well, I don't know. I mean, where are you? I'm curious what your end game here is, AC, other than telling us how great the weather is in Canada.
weather's great, life is great. You just said you're happy where you are. I'm very happy for you. But the thing is, nobody wants to see a legend. Nobody wants to see a guy lives in a basement gym from Tuscaloosa. Everybody wants to see you, Mr. Feinbaum. I mean, when a Packer stadium, you show up, don't they just cheer your name like, Feinbaum, Feinbaum? Isn't that right? Or am I mistaking something? You're
well,
the guy,
I don't know that.
Millions of dollars.
But I do say this, when people put on this show, I think they do want to hear from the better callers.
And you are the best guy to take the better callers, am I correct? I don't think there's...
Well,
this
I do feel confident that I can differentiate between who is interesting, who is compelling, and who just simply screams.
Well, absolutely. I know I'm screaming. I mean, your boy Jeff from Columbus, he screams like no tomorrow. So we are the screamers, am I correct?
You are, and you're also gone. Dylan is up next in Florida. Hello, Dylan.
Hey, Paul, how are you today?
Okay, thank you.
I was just calling, the first time caller, long time listener.
Thank
but
you.
I was following up with Carson's point when you said that Georgia might not make the SEC championship game. So I'm wondering who from the East you think it's going to be, if not the Bulldogs.
Well, I frankly don't think anybody's going to beat Georgia, but I was simply making a case that they have a few difficult games. That's all. And if you had to rank their
difficult games,
I would think Florida's difficult. I think at Mississippi State in November and at Kentucky in November are both fairly difficult games. I think they'll be more difficult than what we have this weekend for Georgia.
Yes, sir. And I would agree with you on the Florida, but Anthony Richardson has not looked up to par. But I definitely have Auburn circled because they always give us a fight just like they do Bama. And like you said, going to Mississippi
but
State.
But I think the closing stretch of Florida, Tennessee, which is at home, at State, at Kentucky, that's where you could see something happen. Right now, I don't see it happening. But, you know, at one time you thought maybe Missouri, but Missouri has just been so far a disaster.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, I don't think Auburn. I mean, I don't know enough about Auburn to tell you. Vanderbilt, we are well aware of. So, yeah, that's to me. And the reason I said that, you know, November is an unpredictable month from a weather standpoint. You don't know what you're going to get. You could get a rainy day. You could get an ice storm. We had that four years ago. We were in Lexington for the Georgia game, and it was the temperature was
horrible,
40
rain.
Degrees, and it was snowing and hailing and sleeting, I should say.
Mm-hmm.
So those are some of the things that could happen. I don't think there's anyone right now who would predict Georgia is going to lose a game. But on the other hand, you have to watch it. A week ago, I was being told by the number one experts on this network how invincible Anthony Richardson in Florida looked, to your point. Thank you very much. Clay is up next. Hey, Clay, good afternoon.
Hey, Paul, how are you doing?
We are great. Thank you.
So I was just thinking, I think South Carolina could either come out on top tomorrow or not tomorrow, Saturday, sorry, or it'd be a very tight game. I want to hear your thoughts on that.
Well, I don't really – I mean, you can take any side you want. I would – unless we are just completely wrong about Georgia, I don't see that happening, but I didn't think Texas was going to be ahead of Alabama either late in the fourth quarter.
Yeah. Well, Spencer Rattler looked a lot better last week than he did the first week with almost 400 passing yards. Then Antoine Wells averaged 23 yards a carry last week against Arkansas. And Georgia really did not look that great against Stanford last week.
Well, but Clay, why should they have looked good? They just put a severe beatdown on Oregon. They didn't give up a point. So I think I'm all for fans going to the game and having a great time and making their own evaluations, but I think you would always I would always urge you never to draw too much into a game like Stanford. It was a 30-0 game, and if you're Kirby Smart and his staff, you're just trying to get by. You know why do you want to show anything? Why do you want to do anything other than okay, we have a let's write the check, make sure Stanford gets paid for coming over here, and get out of here as fast as we can. Let's take a break. We'll find out more about the Dogs when we visit with Mike Griffith straight ahead.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be. Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at Hims.com/Paul. That's Hims.com/Paul for your personalized ED treatment options. Hims.com/Paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Welcome back. Let's continue here as we're heading to Georgia. And say hello to Mike Griffith as the Dogs get ready to take on South Carolina. Mike, good to see you. Thank you for joining us. So give us the lay of the land as the Dogs get ready for a road game in Columbia.
Yeah, it's an SEC opener, Paul, so you never really know. That can be dangerous. It is a noon kickoff. You know, talking with Jeremy Pruitt the other day, he said, you know what, when you're the road team, you're praying for those noon kickoffs. It's that much easier. Anywhere in the SEC after 3:30 p.m., it's a shark tank. So maybe Georgia caught a break there with the early kickoff. This is an interesting South Carolina team. I saw them play at Arkansas last week. I think Spencer Rattler is incredibly talented. The Gamecocks can get the ball downfield. I don't think they're going to be able to establish enough of a run and guard the run well enough to beat Georgia. But I think they could test that back seven a little bit more than what we've seen so far. So looks like a road win for Georgia at South Carolina. They're a prohibitive favorite. I would expect them to be right around that 21-24 point margin and get some more of those style points and stay number one. I was listening to Matt Stinscombe a second there, Paul, and former Georgia great. And, you know, I look at what Kirby's done in year two, three, four, five, six. He's in the top 10 every year. So I guess my thought on Texas A&M, and I need to transition there quickly because, I mean, this is an absolute red alert in Texas. This is his fifth year. That, Matt Stinchcomb, is why people are disappointed, because by now you're supposed to have an established program. You've got everything you need to win. You have the stadium. You have the budget to hire coaches, to pay players, recruit, et cetera. Jimbo Fisher got a contract extension last year. So, my goodness, that's why Texas A&M wants and will demand better.
Let me follow that up with asking you this, Mike. Saturday night is – I think every game right now is critical for Jimbo Fisher, not in the conventional sense, but just from a credibility standpoint. So, you know, if this season gets sideways and he loses a couple of games, which right now there's a good chance of that, what are we to take away from that?
Well, there's an old Texas A&M coach I know by the name of Gene Stallings, Paul. And Coach Stallings used to tell us at Alabama that if you don't think it's a big game, you just lose it. You're going to find out how big every game is. And that's what happened against Appalachian State. I think Texas A&M is going to bounce back and win this game. I think Jimbo Fisher has been at this a long time. This is why he was hired, to win games like this. Not to make excuses, but to find ways to win. Jimbo Fisher is a motivator of young men. He's an X's and O's tactician.
Yeah, but
tactician.
No, Mike, I wasn't, Mike, slow down a second. I wasn't asking for a prediction of this game. I can get that from anyone. I'm trying to get some perspective on this program as they get ready for the meat of the schedule.
Yeah, you got to listen here. So we're talking about motivation and we're talking about team chemistry. That's what this comes down to. I think we're also talking about a quarterback change. Haynes King, listen, these kids, you know, a lot of people say, oh, don't say anything bad about them, like they're still in high school. You're playing in front of over 100,000. You got to call it like it is. He stunk. They've got another quarterback named Max Johnson, who we saw outduel Kyle Trask in a breathtaking game in the Swamp just a couple seasons ago. This guy's been there and done that, and I think Jimbo has to make that move. When you make a quarterback change, it can really light a fire under the team. I guarantee you, this Texas A&M team, it's going to be ready to win. And the reason I'm bringing it up, Paul, is because I think motivation and team chemistry is everything. This is year 500. They've got the talent there. They've got the coaches. They've got the schemes. They just got to have players with the want to. And I guarantee you Jimbo Fisher sent that message to the locker room.
You mentioned Jeremy Pruitt, that you talked to him. I read where he's playing poker now professionally. What else is he doing?
Well, he's doing my show every Monday night and giving us some great analysis. I mean, you think about Jeremy's resume. Look, he's a guy that's going to be back. You know, it's almost comical now when you think about, oh, my gosh, Jeremy Pruitt in Tennessee, they gave players money. Isn't that what everybody's doing now?
Mike, hold on a second. Let's not confuse fact with fiction. When he's accused of giving money, it wasn't kosher. So good try. But my question is, what's he doing and who would hire him is the ultimate question. Other than you, obviously.
Me, obviously. I mean, this is a guy who's got a rate. I mean, who would hire Lane Kiffin after his issues at the University of Tennessee and the NCAA investigation and the wrongdoings? You know, people can get second chances, Paul. I wouldn't be surprised to see Urban Meyer get another chance. I mean, this is today's world. Jeremy Pruitt is a very accomplished coach. Listen, you don't need to know his resume. You know he's won national championships at two different schools. You know he was under Saban for 6 years. You know there's a value to having coached in the SEC. I think Jeremy's been, I don't know if he's a head coach, but I think somebody that wants to hire a capable coordinator, a proven coordinator, I think he'll get back in it. Right now he's a little hot. This year out will do him well. I think that's what he's doing. I think he's collecting, he's spending time with his family back in Fort Payne and playing poker, I guess, playing a little golf and still talking football, giving great breakdowns.
Yeah, listen, I'm thrilled that he's adding perspective on your show, but I'm a little surprised, Mike, that you have just whitewashed what seems to be a fairly serious investigation of him. I'm not suggesting Tennessee gets hit hard because I don't think they should, but based on what I heard, the school unloaded him pretty quickly for some pretty egregious allegations that you act like are no big deal. That's pretty surprising from someone who knows your resume.
Yeah, well, I appreciate that, Paul. And the reason I don't think it's as big of a deal is because the rules have changed. I think it's a bailout for Jeremy Pruitt. I think it's very convenient that the rules have changed. It reminds me of Kelvin Sampson at Indiana, who's fired and making all these phone calls outside the window. And then 2 years later, they changed the rule and everybody's making phone calls. And you go, so what? You know, I just think you have to look at what Jeremy Pruitt's done before the University of Tennessee. He won 8 games in a row there at one point. Look, I'm not saying he has a Hall of Fame resume as a head coach, but he's a seasoned coach that I believe will be back in college football after a year. And yeah, there were some violations. But again, I bring up Lane Kiffin. I mean, this is the Morris the Cat of the SEC. This guy's got 9 lives here. You take a look at what he did at the University of Tennessee, and hostesses were paid to go see a recruit, and the recruiting staff that he had, it was egregious. But he's back, right? Lane put his time in. He went somewhere else. He did a good job. And now I think he's a very good head coach. I think he adds to the SEC. If people had just tarred and feathered Lane Kiffin after his failings at Southern Cal or after his failings with the Oakland Raiders or after his failings with the University of Tennessee, we wouldn't see this Ole Miss program in the position that they're in to grow. So I just think it's a little soon to write off Jeremy Pruitt, Paul, and try to end his career.
Nobody, listen, it doesn't really matter to me whether he works or not. I'm not invested in him like you are, but he did have a 10-16 SEC record in his final year. Was an absolute embarrassment, and on top of that, I mean, he failed about every tenet of being a head coach, and that's the ability to communicate. I mean, he was a disaster at that. So maybe he's great on your podcast. I'll have to check it out the next time I get a free moment on Monday night.
You will. He is great on the pod. He's almost as good as you when you come on my show.
Yeah,
I'm not. Well, I'm not proposing that he be hired as a head coach, but as a coordinator, there's no doubt. You know, he won a national championship with Florida State.
And I also don't understand what this attack on Lane Kiffin is. I mean, yeah, whatever happened.
It's not an attack.
This is not Meet the Press where you can just make up whatever you want. I mean, you flat out took Lane Kiffin out a minute ago. I heard it, and everybody else here heard it.
I said he's doing a great job. And
No. You basically wondered how he could essentially get hired. Why can't Jeremy? You're trying to equate what Lane Kiffin went through at Tennessee and what Jeremy Pruitt has been accused of. And I don't think that you can necessarily connect the dots there. But that's fine. You're welcome to do whatever you want.
That's interesting.
To embrace your podcast king on Monday night.
No. I think there's a lot of things that go into coaching. I think NCAA violations, and I think character and ethics also matter. So I'm not going to take the Jeremy Pruitt Lane Kiffin comparison any further, because there's a lot of exciting coaches. Mark Stoops is a guy who, by the way, has a similar SEC record to Jeremy Pruitt. He just passed Bear Bryant in terms of his winning percentage as the Kentucky all-time winningest coach, and I've got to give him some credit, because earlier this year I was critical of Kentucky, and they went down to the swamp and they stared Billy Napier and his fourth down calls in the eye, and the Kentucky Wildcats pulled out a big win. You know, Mark Stoops is 20-9 in one-score games. I mean, there's something to be said for the way this guy coaches. And I asked him about it this week, and he said, it takes a lot to get us rattled around here. I think Kentucky could end up being Georgia's biggest competitor in the East. That November game in Lexington looms large. The only other team that I can see in the East that's going to stay on the field is Tennessee, because they got one heck of a gritty win there at Pitt. I mean, that was not some track meet where they just ran away. They had to play some football. They had to overcome some adversity. That showed me something with the Tennessee Vols ball. The SEC East has got some teeth at the top this year.
Mike Griffith in Athens, appreciate his time very much. We'll head to the break right now, get more of your phone calls here at 855-242-7285, and we are back right after this.
Now, let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue, and ready for the play. And boom! Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good! The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely. 10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships. Your skills. Your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/network.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Welcome back here to the show that never ends. Great to have you with us. Final hour, we'll talk to Brandon Marcello, who was in Auburn, checking out the situation with Brian Harsin. Let's continue with more of your phone calls. And Lewis is up next in Florida. Hello, Lewis. Good afternoon.
What's up, Paul? How you doing?
We are doing great. Thank you.
I just came in here to talk about Miami, about how big of a game this is for not only Miami as a program when it comes to recruiting and stuff, but for Tyler Van Dyke and the rest of our season and how this Mario Cristobal era is going to shake out.
Yeah, I don't think this is a game that will derail Miami should they lose. They're, after all, in College Station. But I think it could lift them off on a national platform. I mean, they're in the prime game late tomorrow night. And I think it's a real opportunity. They lost a little bit. The game day was supposed to be there, which would have added a little luster. But A&M took care of that. But to me, the game is far more critical for Jimbo Fisher. Jeff is in Columbus. You're on the air. Hello, Jeff.
What's going on, Paul?
Hey, Jeff.
Hey, where's that game being played? Is that played in Miami or Texas?
Texas.
Yeah, Jimbo better win that. Or, boy, I tell you what, he's on the hot seat instantly, don't you think?
I do, yes. Let me keep saying, not in the conventional sense that he loses his job, because somebody's got to figure out where the $85 million would come from. But it would take a lot more than losing. But that would already be two losses with Alabama left, Arkansas, countless other, Florida, Mississippi State. So there's countless other games at LSU that could really create a disaster for them. But if they win the game, they can breathe a sigh of relief, at least until next week.
Right. But Texas A&M is basically what they are right now. I mean, they have been that for their history. That's the comical part, is people thought they were going to be some powerhouse and team that was relevant. And they've never been. They've been a middle-of-the-pack team for their history. But, Paul, I was glad to hear your Squirrel call in. Sounds like he's enjoying his retirement down on the coast on his boat, doesn't it?
Yeah, no. A lot of people are anxious with retirement. Squirrel seems to have leaned in pretty well.
Yeah. But I got to agree with old Squirrel, Paul. You've been awfully protective of Legend ever, like, the last week or so. Why? How's come? You just seem like you're real protective of him.
Well, I just happen to think he's a great caller, and he's under attack from
Jim. Well, I know,
but
the guy's
Jim
such a badass. He's from Walker County. Why do you have to protect
Pete
him?
Pete Golden's father. I'm not protecting the guy. Well, you can say whatever you want about him.
Well, but anybody does, and then you crack on him like a Squirrel nailed it. I don't
get it.
Well,
what I crack on are crackpots, like the guy we were just listening to on TV, your best friend and BFF Jim, who is just pained by jealousy about Legend to such a degree that he can't talk straight.
Huh. I don't know, but I just was agreeing with Squirrel. I that's what I was agreeing with. But Paul, I'm glad you're coming around to my way of thinking with these analysts and experts. It finally sounds like you're getting fed up with all their spewing and all their just nonsense they like to spew. It sounds like you're coming around. Are you?
No, I am. I am coming around because I mean, I'm in a precarious position since I work with some of them and work at the same network. But, I mean, there have just been some of the stupidest predictions that I've ever heard. And I'm a little different than you. I mean, you want to take these people out and stone them. I'm just simply making reference to the fact that
they're the only one that's led the charge of making sure they know what they're held accountable. That's all.
There's a guy that currently sits on the desk at College Game Day that picked four schools to be in the Final Four. Three have already lost.
Well,
that's 2 weeks into the season.
School.
That's a bad record.
Yeah, that's Desmond Howard, right?
That is correct.
Well, I mean, is that a surprise? I mean, come on, Paul.
Truthfully,
Desmond Howard
getting something right about college football is not a surprise, no.
Right. But 2 weeks ago, I called out Roman Harper bragging about his suits and his lizard skin shoes, and you got all over me, Paul. And the guy was he was horrendous, horrendous in his analysis of Richardson. That might have been the worst quarterback performance I've seen in years from that Florida quarterback. I mean, to throw an interception basically right to a guy on a pick six, and I don't know what his completion percentage was. What was it, 30%?
It was pretty bad.
And then Harper calling Kentucky soft. I think the guy needs to shut it down and just go into clothing critiquing. I mean, that's what he's good at.
You know, well, but maybe it's Fashion Week in New York. Maybe he can get a job for Vogue or Men's Health or GQ. Hey, thanks for the call. Appreciate it. Let's continue with Brett in Georgia. Hey, Brett, go right ahead.
Hey, Paul, how you doing?
I'm doing well.
I need your help with something. I'm a Tennessee fan, and we watched the whole Scott Frost thing unfold, and now I'm sitting here thinking, well, shoot, Josh Heupel made Scott Frost look incredible down at UCF. And now I see Bama struggle. What's your confidence in Tennessee? Do we have a shot? I mean, because what we've been missing is we haven't won the game that we're not supposed to win yet, right? The Florida game, we've beaten them when they're down. Are we able to beat the teams that we're
and all I can use is the Pittsburgh game. To me, that was a really important win. You're on the road. That helps. You're up against a pretty good team. Not a great team. Pittsburgh won't compare to Georgia and Alabama.
But it was still
a very important win.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I know, and the defense looked great. I mean, that's the one thing. They looked like they had enough depth to catch their breath. And
I think that was a breakthrough win. Now, you know, it depends on, you know, what are you looking at here? Is it a better season than last? I mean, I think Tennessee fans are wanting to win 9-10 games. They're wanting to compete with Georgia and Alabama. Jim is up next.
I heard you tell Squirrel you were here to take a call from everybody and let them express their opinion, but that's not true with me now. And you talk over me when you see I'm going to some place you don't want me to go. And today you blatantly lied about my age, about all these things that you said about me. You said what's the word you used? I self-inflicted my injury, which that's a total lie. I didn't self-inflict. I got pushed through a wonder in the dressing room after the game, and that's exactly what happened. Self-inflicted? How in the world can you say these things about?
Well, Jim, I thought you told me once that you injured yourself.
No, you were wrong. I didn't tell you that.
You were playing pool.
I told you I got pushed through a wonder.
Jim, you told me that story that you were so angry that you put your finger.
I don't know what you're talking about. Angry? I wasn't angry when I got hurt. I wasn't angry. It was a bunch of crap going on in the dressing room, and somebody pushed me, and my arm went through the window. I was trying to put my arm up.
Which window did your arm go
on the wood part?
Where is there a window in the dressing room?
This was in the dressing room in Leeds, Alabama, at the Post 34 State Championship Tournament. But I'm telling you, you're making up stuff as like you're like Adam Schiff against Donald Trump. That's what you're trying to do to me.
So,
and I don't care what you're all lies, man. You're making up.
You were playing American Legion baseball, is that right?
That's what I said.
Okay. For Post 34.
But let me reiterate. Let me reiterate. You won't apologize and say you were wrong when you said it was a. You act like I tried to commit suicide. What a lie that is. What an irresponsible man you are. I don't understand how people can even want to listen. And by the way, you said you invited
once.
Me to those dinners?
Jim.
Something else I've told you many times.
I just want to respond. You told me a story once that you were playing.
No, I got something else to say before you respond. If you don't want to, unless
you
don't want to let me express my view. I can't express my view. I told you back 15 years ago, I didn't come to your functions or your dinners because I didn't like people like Legend and I-Man. And the only one I liked was Shane. That's the only one. There was too many there that I don't want to be around those people. Have I not told you that? I know I've told you that.
So how much did you were close friends with Shane? Is that right?
There you go. I know where you're going with this because like we never talk. We talked every day. I love Shane. That's all I can. He loved me. That's simple as that.
Now you can try to make up a lie about that.
But that would be a blatant.
Thing here. You were such good friends with Shane that I-Man showed up at his.
Wait a minute. I didn't say I was good. I just said I love
Shane.
I-Man
shows up at his funeral, but you don't have the decency to show up at his funeral.
No, I had some problems that I couldn't make it. And let me reiterate.
I showed up at his funeral.
I didn't want to be around the people that would be at that funeral.
Pat Smith showed up at his funeral.
Is that a sin?
You being his best friend, you couldn't make it to his funeral.
Wait a minute. I didn't say I was his best friend. You're lying about that, Feinbaum. You're a damn liar, man. You're a damn liar. Everybody will find out. One day you're going to face God. One day you're
going to
face God Almighty with your lies on record.
You've
got tons of lies.
Not your best friend.
You're a filthy man. You're a dirty, filthy man. You're a liar. You're a damn liar, man. Total liar.
I just asked you a simple question. You were such a good friend with the guy. You didn't show up at his funeral. I went there. I delivered a eulogy. I-Man, who didn't even like the guy, but out of respect for the show, drove from Montgomery The other guys I mentioned from JOX, and there were other callers there too, some of whom had never even met him, but you're such a good friend of the guy, you couldn't drive out to Center Point on a Sunday afternoon in December on a 60-degree day to pay your final. That's fine. Didn't matter. We all remembered him very fondly without you. We'll take a short break. Back after this.
We all know breakfast is an important part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Welcome back here on a Thursday afternoon. What an afternoon this has been, and let's continue with Rob in Tennessee. Hey, Rob.
Hey, Paul. It's nice to finally get to talk to you.
Well, thank you.
You know, ever since it was announced that Oklahoma and Texas are coming into the SEC, I've been thinking it would be neat if Alabama and Auburn could get moved over to the east and Missouri put back in the west where they should have been all along. But I knew that with the 4-team playoff like it exists now, that would possibly, you know, keep Alabama and Georgia from making their repeat performances in there like they've been doing. But I was wondering now that with the playoff being extended to 12 teams about the same time that Oklahoma and Texas come into the conference, do you think that might influence Commissioner Sankey to possibly consider doing that, push Alabama and Auburn over in the east and put Missouri over in the west?
Here's the big issue, and you know, we think it's going to happen in 2 years, about the time that the college football playoff could expand. There's a feeling today that there's not going to be divisions. Now, that's a fluid situation depending on the circumstances, but if I had to bet, I would say there aren't going to be divisions, so it really won't matter. The scheduling is the issue, not the divisions. So, when you have divisions with eight, it's just really complex. You then have to go to 9 games, and that is still open for debate. And with the playoffs, the playoff expansion is really pretty influential in trying to determine some of these decisions. Now, do you need 9 conference games as much now that you have the playoffs on the horizon?
Well, if
they're
if
valuable
they're not,
from a financial standpoint, that's really the motivating factor. They're ESPN certainly wants more conference games. They're better games.
Yes, sir. Well, if there's not the divisions, how would they determine who plays who?
They would do it the way the Big 12 currently does it. You just take the two highest ranked teams in the playoff in the college football playoff committee, and there would definitely be some tiebreakers involved if it was a tie. I mean, there couldn't be a tie, but there usually are. There's the three teams could be tied for first place. It's head-to-head, it's ranking. So there are a number of different factors. That hasn't been determined yet, though. But don't count on divisions. I think that would be a good way to look at it. James is up next in Tennessee. Hey, James.
Hey, Paul. How you doing today?
We're great. Thank you.
Yeah, I just want to say real quickly before I get into why I called, I don't get to watch the show every day because I do work in the hospitality industry. But I was off today. And this, before I get into talking about – the East, you got a lot of really people who call in that make great points and are good callers that are enjoyable to listen to. But that Jim guy, I don't know why you take his phone call. But anyway, I digress. Wanted to talk about what I saw in Tennessee's defense against Pitt. I called you in the spring and I told you my worry with Tennessee moving forward with Josh Heupel and his high-powered offense was the possibility of neglect a little on the defensive side of the ball. And I didn't see that. In fact, I saw the opposite. I feel like their defense has taken a huge step forward from what I saw. And because here's my measuring stick, Paul. Every single one of Pitt's offensive linemen were returning from last year, if I'm not mistaken. So that's a good judge. And then plus getting the pressure on the quarterback the way they did. You know, at the beginning of the year, now transferring to talking about Georgia, at the beginning of the year, I said to one of my friends, either Tennessee or Kentucky's going to beat Georgia. But now, after watching Georgia play, I don't see that happening. I just don't think that anybody's capable of beating Georgia after what I've seen. Now, granted, it's early in the season. You've got injuries to worry about. And Stetson Bennett's a real deal. I mean, even though Hendon Hooker had better numbers than he had last year, 31 touchdown passes to 3 interceptions, this Stetson Bennett guy is just a born leader. And I really like watching him play, even though I hate the Bulldogs being a Volunteer fan.
James, I'm most interested in how he plays Saturday. It will be a more difficult environment than he's had so far, but he's been to places like that. We all know that. Let's take a break. Another hour to go as we wrap up this part of the week. Tomorrow, live in Auburn.
Thank you for listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast. The Paul Feinbaum Show airs weekdays on the SEC Network, beginning at 3 Eastern.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.